made it to the last day of 2017. I guess everybody's excited as New Year's coming and got an opportunity. I know the commercials will be changing. Been seeing these Christmas commercials from all these nice-looking hams to all these cakes and all these things, and now you're going to start seeing exercise equipment and gym commercials. And they'll be running to about the middle of the year, and then we forgot about that, and we'll be on something else. So looking forward to the new year coming, exciting. Just see what God can do if we just get out of his way and let him be God. Do we have any prayer requests this morning before we begin service? Anybody? Remember the families that have lost loved ones this time of the year? I know we say it a lot, but it's been tough on a bunch of people. I remember those, and also be much prayer for our church as our building is coming forward, and looking forward to that, and just seeing it finished this year, and again, excited about what God can do if we'll get out of the way. Any other prayer requests?
Chad, please remember my brother who's in the hospital.
Okay. Remember that. Remember also a friend of ours, Beth Jackson, has been in the hospital in Carrollton, and I think she's still there, so remember them also. I know we've got many others that have family members that suffer from cancer or different things, so I remember those. Anyone else? If not, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you this morning. Thank you for this day. God, I thank you for the ones, Lord, if you sent this way this morning. God, I pray that we ever preach and teach exactly what you'd have us to do. God, I pray that you just touch our lips this morning. Lord, as those that come to sing, I pray that you bless them, God. I pray that you open our hearts and our minds, Lord, to your songs. And God, I pray that we worship you in spirit and in truth. And God, as we come to the close of this year, I thank you for the year we've had. Lord, I thank you for the things you've done. Lord, and I thank you for the comfort that you've given us as we've seen some go home to be with you. God, I thank you for the assurance of knowing that one day we'll be reunited with those that we love. God, more importantly, one day we'll get to see you face to face. God, we ask you to be in our service this morning. Lord, God, touch the singers, and everything's done here be to honor and glorify your name, for it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
Let all heaven and earth to a place unexpected. Would you believe, after all we projected, a child in a manger? Lowly and small, the weakest of all, unlikeliest hero, wrapped in his mother's shawl, just a child.
Excited to be standing here today and be realizing that God has allowed me to see another year. There was, as I was thinking about back over the year of 2017, there was some friends of ours and people I was acquainted with through life that passed away this year that was some of my age from heart attacks and different things that you don't think about. It's happened to someone as young as me, Pat. But it happens. And I was driving down the road, and Stephanie got a CD from somewhere the other day of Matthew West, and these messages God puts on our hearts come from all places, and he was talking about the beautiful things that we miss, the things that we look over. And the Lord began laying this message on my heart of no time to waste. There's no time to waste. Time is the only thing, the most important thing we have to us on this earth is time. You can go make money, and you can do all these things, but you cannot buy time. There's not a single thing we can do that can add one day to our lives. We can try to take better of ourselves, but God knows the time we're going to be with Him, and nothing's going to change it. But what we can do is change how we spend this time. We can change what we do with what God has given us. And I'm sad to tell you that there's been a lot of times in my life that I have wasted time. I've wasted time. We've all wasted time. And we got these things right here that takes up our time. We want to be entertained in today's times. Everything we do is about entertainment. How can you keep my attention? How can you keep me busy? How can what have you got for this? What have you got for that? And the number one thing I can tell you is Jesus. That's what we have. We have Jesus. And he's allotted us with so much time on this earth. And the psalmist here, if you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm chapter number 39. And as I was thinking about this no time to waste and began thinking about why the Bible says that life is brief. It's a vapor. You see it for 1 second, it's gone. If you've ever been pumping gas in the summertime and you see those little vapors coming up as you're pumping gas and they're gone. Or you're driving down the road and you see the heat coming up off the road and you see it for just a second and it's gone. That's exactly what your life is today. And I put down some questions to ask ourselves before we get started into this message this morning is, what have you done with your time? What have you done with your time? Now, I know many of you go to work or you go to school or you go different places. We have something that keeps our time every day, but I'm talking about, for the Lord, what have you done with your time? What can you have done with your time? Let me ask you another important question. What will you do with the remaining time you have left? What will you do with it? For the kingdom of God, what will you do with this time? What will you do? Look back over last year, as I'm talking for just a minute, in your mind, look over last year and tell, don't tell me because I don't want to know, because I don't want to tell you, but you be truthful with yourself and God. What did you do with your time last year for him? The time he gave you, what did you do with it? And looking forward to 2018, what will you do with, if you may be here all 2018, I pray you are. I pray we don't lose any more. I was thinking about as I was driving this morning, our church saw several members go home and be with the Lord this year. And you know, it happens, it's natural, but the time we have remaining, if you're here when we're talking on this day or this last Sunday we'll have in 2018, what will you be able to say that you did with that time of that year for him? So what have you done with your time? What will you do with the remaining time you have left? And what is the quality of your time? What is the quality of your life that God has given you? Speaking in him now, what is the quality? I'm not talking about your lifestyle at home, about what all these amenities you have and the house you have and all those things. That's not what I'm talking about. What is the quality of your spiritual life? You see, all these other things are going to pass away. One day everything you have at home will burn up. It'll be gone. It's no good. It's temporal. But for the eternity, what is the quality of your life? The last question is your life pleasing to God? Is it pleasing to the Lord? If how you spent 2017 and how you're spending right now and how you'll spend 2018, is it going to be pleasing to the Lord? Boy, it's hard, isn't it? And I began thinking about this, and as I read this psalm in Psalm 39, starting in chapter verse number 4, boy, this thing holds so much time. I don't know if Terry, if it's because I'm getting old or what it is, but I began realizing something in 2017 that I don't have a lot of time. I better cherish it. But listen to this. Psalms 39, verse number 4. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity, Selah. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what I wait for, my hope is in thee. Father, we come this morning again, God, and thank you for this word you've given us. Lord, I pray that you open hearts and minds in this place. And God, I pray that you visit with us this morning. Lord, I pray you'll speak a word to someone's heart today. You can speak more in one word than I can in a million. God, I ask you to touch hearts and touch lives. And Lord, I ask you to change us in this place today. God, I pray that 2018 is a difference for you, not for me, not for these deacons or anybody of this church, but God, for you, that we make a difference for you in 2018. For all these blessings we ask in Jesus' name, amen. I began reading this this psalm and begin really reading. I'm talking about looking at every word and understanding what David was trying to say to God here as he prayed this word, or it was a song is what it is. And I began thinking about what it was saying as he was doing this. He started out and he said, "Lord, make me to know mine end. Make me to know my life, God. Make me to know how many days I have left. Lord, let me realize that even if I live to be 70, it's not very long. Or even if I live to be 80, it's not very long." And he says something else. He said, "In the measure of my day," that's the length of his days, "and what it is, that I may know how frail I am." Do you understand that man today, in his best state, the best marathon runner that there ever has been, or the best swimmer they've ever been, or Michael Phelps, or any of these other athletes, Bo Jackson, you keep on naming them, the best one they was, you realize the only thing standing between them and death is one heartbeat. They're frail. Bo Jackson was a frail man. All these boxers that's been great through life, they're frail individuals because they're one breath and they're gone. They're so frail, and life today is frail. And we're not guaranteed another second. We're not guaranteed another year. We're not guaranteed to be sitting here next Sunday. We're not guaranteed to be sitting here next year. So I will tell you today, and I want to preach to you today, about no time to waste. There is no time to waste. I began thinking about, God, how can we make sure that our life is a life that's pleasing to you? How can I make sure that 2018 is not a waste of my time? Or more important than that, a waste of your time? God, I want to make sure that every second I'm given, that it's for you. And that it's spent in a way that would be pleasing to you. And I began thinking about this little word called joy. Called joy. We preached about it a lot last week, but we're going to preach about it again. You see, the acronym for this, of course, is Jesus, others, and yourself. If you want to live a life that's pleasing to God, you want to live a life that is not a waste of time, you want to live a life that God's going to be pleased with, then you must have joy. Joy. Number one, Jesus must be first. I want to ask you today, in your life, you be honest right now, is Jesus the most important thing to you? Now, most of you have loved ones sitting beside you, or you have someone there near you, or you have ones that's at home, or you have ones that's at other places, but you have someone who's very dear to you. But may I ask you today, are they more important than Jesus? Or you may have a job that's important to you, or you may have a hobby that's important to you. Is that thing more important than Jesus today? If it is, may I tell you something? You are wrong. You got things in the wrong order. You got your priorities in the wrong places. Church, I believe what's wrong with us today, I believe what's wrong with all Christians and all churches, is Jesus is no longer first. We have left our first love, the Bible tells about it, in the seven churches. There he started out and he said, "What's wrong with you? You have left your first love." I think what's wrong with churches today is Jesus is no longer first. We talked about it back in our Sunday school room. It's become a social place today. It's become a place we go see what everybody else is doing. It's a place we don't want to hear about our sin. We don't want to hear about this thing. Let me tell you something. I began reading the scripture this week, and I began thinking about our church, and it's no secret that the crowds are down right now, and people's not coming, people's not tithing, and all this stuff going on. And I get down, Rudy, and I whine, I complain, and then Stephanie won't let me quit. She won't let me give up. And then I read about Noah. He preached 120 years, and not one person got saved. Man, I would have given up a long time ago. But I read about all these things, and I think, what is the problem? And the problem only can be one thing, is Jesus is no longer first. Because when I read the scriptures, you know what I saw? Is everywhere that I saw Jesus Christ, guess what was around him? People. It was impossible for Jesus to go anywhere and not be enthroned with people. You read the scriptures. He would come to teach them, and what would happen? People would gather from all places. You know why? They were to see who this man Jesus was. And I think the difference, Stephanie pinpointed this morning in our Sunday school class, I think what's happened in our communities and in our nation is no longer can the people outside the church, they can't tell us any different from the world because we're acting like the world. The Bible plainly teaches we must be separate, a peculiar people. Jesus is no longer first in our life. You say, "Well, preacher, I don't have time for Jesus." Terry mentioned in our Sunday school class, we should get up early this year and read the Word of God. If we want to make a difference, put a little more time, to set that alarm clock a little earlier, get up and begin reading the Word of God. And boy, that's hard for me because I'm one of these that slide into work at 1 minute till. I do it, but listen, we should get up a little bit early. We should spend some time. You say, "Well, time is so, I just don't have any." You go talk to people in our days and times we live in today, and it has changed about why they don't come to church. I remember a day when I was first in church, you'd go talk to them, and their number one thing was, was it was hypocrites down there. Hey, that ain't no longer what they tell you now. Their thing now is, well, I don't have any time. Sunday's the only day I have off. I'm going to have to get a little bit of rest sometime, preacher. I have to do all these things. You know I have to go to work. Hey, I understand it. Stephanie works on Sundays. Many other people here have to work on Sundays. I get that. But listen, with your time, when you look back this year and see and be honest with me and let me know, not just me, but let God know that Jesus was not number one of your time. He wasn't your main priority. You see, I tell you all the time, we'll say it, that I don't have any time for this. And I tell everybody every single day I speak about time somewhere. I'll say it on the phone at work, and I'll begin tell them all these things I got to do, Keith. Boy, I got a good list of them. And you can throw Bible college in there, and they'll say, "Whoo, you are busy." And you tell them you're a pastor of a church, and they say, "Well, I don't see how you have any time." But you know what? I have time for what I like to do. I have time to watch football. I have time to sit in the recliner. I have time to do this and time to do that. So what's important to me, I have time for. And the reason people's not at church today is because Jesus is not number one to them. If Jesus was number one, it don't matter what else they had going, they would be here. I want to tell you, most people's not working the last day of the year, and I can't think of a better place to spend it in the house of God. Woo! Amen. Amen. You should have said that there. But listen, Luke chapter 12, verse 22 and 30 through 34. He said to his disciples, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, for the body, or what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? And which of you, taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit?" I can't do nothing to this, Rudy. This is as tall as I'm going to get, people. Listen, the scripture tells me. I can't add, it says, not able to, if you then be able to do that which is least, why take you thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow, they toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you, Solomon, all his glory is not arrayed like one of these. If then if God so clothe the grass, which is day in the field, tomorrow is cast in the oven, how much more will he clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. And seek not what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be you of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather seek you the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old. Treasure in the heavens and faileth not, where the thief approach, neither moth corrupt. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Put God first. Put Jesus first in everything you do, and that scripture plainly tells you. You won't have to worry about what you're going to eat. You won't have to worry about what you're going to drink. Now, listen, I'm not telling you that you can say, "Well, Jesus is going to take care of me. I'm quitting my job. I'm doing this and that." God gives us common sense. But listen, he lets us know in everything we do, when we're on that job, we can put Jesus first. We're at our church, we can put Jesus first. We're at home, we can put Jesus first. He tells me in that scripture that if I put him first, guess what? Everything else is going to be added unto me. I'm not going to have to worry about it. And he goes further in verse 34 and says, "For your treasure is, there will your heart be." Is your treasure in Jesus today? May I tell you, if your treasure is not in Jesus, you need to reinvest today, because you're missing out. All this other stuff is gone. Listen, money, I read that where it said that money is probably going to get better this year in 2018 than it has been in years. And I said, well, thank God we're building a building. We need that money. We need that money. May I tell you something? Money hadn't changed with Jesus. Money hadn't changed with God. It's what it's always been. Yes, the way we handle money may change this year. They say the tax break's going to help everybody. All businesses will be impacted, and they can give us more money that work for them. Boy, I was excited. I thought I'd run, Pat. Do you know what I said then? Jesus hadn't changed. Why did I get so happy thinking about I might get a few more dollars in my pocket than I can't do about worshiping a risen Savior? I do about worshiping one that can make a difference. Listen, he can speak, and all this economy can go down the pot. God can touch this thing, and it can go to the best place it's ever been. I don't know what 2018 holds. I wish I could tell you. But honest answer is I don't. But I can tell you, in 2018, if you'll put Jesus first, all this other will be added into you. You may not have a new Cadillac. You may not have a new pickup. You may not have a new home. You may not have all these things you want. But according to the Word of God, if you put him first, you'll have what you need. Is anybody in here, and you can raise your hand if you want to, has anybody in here that has put Jesus first, have you ever been without anything you need? I'm not talking about the stuff we want. I'm talking about, have you ever been without food? Have you ever been without clothes? Have you ever been without water? No, you have not. You have not. You can't even tell that lie. Because we live in a little community in Cleburne County, Alabama that's great. And Jesus uses people. We got an organization called Hearts. We got all these other things that help people in our communities. We've got all these things that he uses, his hands and his feet, and he meets needs. Listen, people, we get down and out, we get complaining, but we are a blessed people. Put Jesus first. Put him first. I put this little note in here under my J. We waste so much time trying to provide and being dumb enough to believe that we are successful. How many of you lay down at night after you've got your paycheck on Friday and you think, man, I've done a good job this week? Or you've worked all that overtime, you've done all these things, and you look at your bank account and you thought, boy, I'm doing a good job as a father, I'm providing. Let me ask you something. When's the last time you told them about Jesus? When's the last time you told your coworkers about Jesus? When's the last time that they saw him first in your life? Yes, you may be successful in business, you may be successful on your job, but if Jesus is not number one, you are failing. You're missing the mark. Missing it. Life is so brief it passes. We look back after 70 or 80 years. Look back. Some of y'all in here that's that age, Pat. Y'all look back. I'm joking a little bit, but I listen now. I'm fastly getting there. 40 has come in a hurry. And I look back out for 40, and I'm not talking about, yes, me and Stephanie started it real. I heard somebody say the other day, we started with nothing. We have most of it left. That's how me and her are. We don't have a lot of money. But I can look back over those years and I can see the things God has blessed us with. I can see the things God's given us and I can see all these things. But you know what? When I get 70 or 80 and I look back, have I really made a difference for the kingdom of God? Have I really made a difference for the Lord? Have I really changed anything? Yes, I've preached a bunch of sermons. Yes, I've done this. Yes, I've been to church all these times and all that. But listen, have I really made a difference for Jesus Christ? That's what's going to be important. It's not going to be important how big my house was or how many cars I had or all these boats and all this other stuff. It's not going to mean anything. When I get to that age, I want to be able to look back and say, I made a difference. If we should all want to do that. So this J for Jesus, we must have him at the first of our lives. Others must be second. Boy, this is a hard one. Because we live in this time, and I've told you, our main enemy we say we've got today is time. And when you mention helping others, you'll hear this come up, just don't have the time. I'd love to come do that, but I don't have the time. We have a thing in Cleburne County called Feeding Cleburne. They send out pamphlets to all churches wanting help. You know what they say? They hear more from anybody. They say, well, if you can't come help, send checks. That's what most people do. They send a check. You know why? Because you can write it. And you're done with it because then you got that time that's so precious. You can go do exactly whatever you want to. And it's probably sit down on the couch and watch TV because they feed those people on Saturdays in Rambert. I'm not sure what day they do it in Heflin. But listen, we should be spending some time out of our lives investing in others. It doesn't happen anymore. I've heard the old people talk about going to people's house and sitting on the front porch or eating ice cream with them or going and visiting and just being there for others and talking with others and spending time with others. And today we'll go to a doctor's office or we'll go to somewhere where we got a little time to sit and we'll wait on something and we're mad at the world because we're waiting. And the whole time we're waiting, God may have placed us beside somebody that we could tell about him. And what we do is we pull this thing out and we begin doing this. It's all you see in the doctor's office right here. I remember a time you went to the doctor's office, at least they had a magazine you could read about something. But now we got these things that take that's supposed to save us all this time. We don't even. I remember a time when me and Stephanie was dating, I'd have to go to the Rambert City Hall, and I'd pull up close to the phone booth as I could and pull the cord in there and begin talking on it. But you know why? Because my daddy wouldn't allow me to call long distance. And he would have a heart attack if he got a $300 phone bill in this day and time. But listen, I remember a time when it took some time to call somebody. And Lord, help if you had to pick up that phone, Rudy, and that thing that went. Y'all remember that? And what about this? When you picked up and that old lady that lived at the end of the road was on the phone, we had a party line. Y'all remember that? Boy, we sure wouldn't have time for that today, would we? My granddaddy used to pick up and tell this old lady her beans was burning and she'd hang up. Listen, we have no time for others. In that day and time, people was there for others, and they had time for others. And what has happened, the reason you can't get anybody to come to church is because they don't believe you care about them. Because you don't spend one moment caring about them. Others. Put others first. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 through 34. Listen to what he says. Mark chapter 12, verse number 30. He says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength." This is the first commandment. Look what number two is. "And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." Where's your priorities at? Number one should be Jesus. Number two should be others. It's right there in the commandments. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. Listen, how many of you wouldn't feed you if you was hungry? How many of you wouldn't be there for you if you needed to talk? How many of you wouldn't be there if anyone stand in need of something? How many of us wouldn't take care of ourselves? No, we all do. We take great care that we take care of ourselves. We spend all this time on ourselves. But listen, how much time, be honest now, think back over 2017 and be honest with yourself, how much time did you put into others? How much time did you put into others? We had an outreach ministry here. It's gotten kind of weak lately. We've done a little thing of it in our softball, and Lord knows we let that fail. We put winning ahead of what it was there for, and we didn't invest in the time of those others. We had others coming to church that we could have spent time with, but no, we had something more important than that, and we missed that opportunity. Listen, in 2018, I don't know what opportunities we're going to have, but I want our church to spend time investing in others. Jesus number one, others number two. Community has heard you preach enough. They've heard me preach enough. They want to see a difference. They want to see somebody care about them. They want to see somebody spend some time with them. They want to see somebody that cares enough about them to simply come visit. The whole life of Jesus was about others. Why he come? To save. Hey, he was perfect, Son of God. He had nothing to worry about, but he loved you so much that he come died a terrible death. Lived in this wicked world and lived perfectly for you and died for you. And not, oh, listen, outside of that, all the time when he was going from place to place, what was he always doing? He was meeting needs, wasn't he? You know how he brought people to faith in him? Was by meeting their needs. He would see some infirmity in their life and he would touch it. And you know what he'd always say? He'd say, "Go, you're made whole. You're made whole." He wouldn't just tell them they was healed from their disease. He was letting them know they had made whole, their mind, soul, body, and spirit. Everything was made complete in him. Church, when is the last time that we spent just a little bit of time investing in others? I get it. I have the three kids. I have all this stuff. I have a job. I have church. I have all these other things we do. I have all of it, and it seems like you get up in the morning and you think, I got to rest just a little minute, and you look at your watch, and oh boy, I got to go. And then you get home and you think, I'm going to rest a minute. And you go do something like this. And you'll come back in the house and you look at your watch. Oh, I forgot I got this. I got to run here to that meeting. I got to run here to that meeting. I got to go get this one at dance or this one at softball practice or this one at this thing or this one at this thing. And we go all through the day. And at the end of the day, we have realized we spend a whole day busy. But really, what did we accomplish? Nothing. We wasted 24 hours. 24 hours we wasted. You can touch others on your job. You can touch others right where you work. I've got a great opportunity. I'm preaching myself this morning. I talk to people all over the country on the telephone. And you know what? I catch myself wanting to throw that phone at them if I could hit them with it sometimes. Because, man, it gets bad. Some of y'all that's in business knows what I'm talking about. But others. Others. How much of our time and our money or our talents are we spending on others? Let me give you a good indicator of how you are with others. When you get home today or you get some time, take out that checkbook you have that means so much to you, or take out that calendar you have that is so full. Take all that stuff out and you look back through 2017 and honestly say, what's in that checkbook and what's in that calendar? How much of it was towards helping others? You're going to be surprised. You should have to get on your knees and cry out before God. You've wasted that time. You've wasted that money. You'll see where you've probably been, and I would hate to have to figure out how much we spent on eating out in 2017.
how much we blew in 2017, how much money as a congregation we probably went through on things that don't matter one bit. What could we have done with that? And then the time that I've sat down and watched TV, or I've spent worried about if Alabama was going to win a ball game, or I spent all these things about worried about things I couldn't change, one iota, I couldn't do anything about it. How much time on my calendar have I wasted? Listen, what we don't understand is that is gone. I can actually go out and I can start a business and I could make more money. But Terry, there's nothing I can do to make more time. It's gone. It's gone. You'll never get it back. It's gone. And we waste it every single day. Finally, the why and joy. You thought, whoo, I didn't think you'd ever get here, preacher. Ourselves. Yourself. Yes, you matter. Jesus is first, others is second, but you're in there. You're third. You matter. First thing about yourself, you need to make 100% sure in 2018, or before 2018 gets here, we still got a few hours, you need to make 100% sure that you have been saved. I'm not talking about your name on a church roll. I'm talking about at some point in your life where you come before the Lord and Savior and you said, Father, forgive me, a sinner. You felt a draw in your life. You felt a tug from the Holy Spirit and realized you was lost. You said, God, save me. At some point, you need to make certain that that's right. That's the number one thing you can do for yourself. Romans 10:9, how do you make sure that you know him? It tells us in Romans 10:9, how can I know that I can be saved? He says, I shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. It's not rocket scientists. It's right there in Romans 10:9. You need to make certain that you know him. You need to make that your number one priority. Right now, as I get done, we're about to finish. And when we come with a verse of imitation, you need to make that your number one priority with the rest of the time we have here of knowing that you know Jesus Christ. There's people sitting on our benches everywhere throughout our whole land today, and they're sitting there as lost as a goose and never having a time in their life when they cried out to Jesus Christ and asked him to save him or her from their sins. Make certain you've been saved. Number two, you need to get into prayer and the Word of God. You need to get in prayer and the Word of God. I'm not talking about bowing your head when it's time to eat. I'm talking about getting you a prayer closet. Going to that thing, shutting the door, and crying out to God. And listen, I told you this whole message has been to me. And I'm sad to say that I fail in this. You know why I fail in my prayer life? You know what I blame it on? I blame it on time. I say I don't have no time. And all the time I've wasted could be spent on prayer with God. It could be spent in the Word of God. And then at the end of year, guess what? I have a different life. I have a life that is not wasted with God. If you spend time in prayer, that's the best time you can spend. It's the best time you can spend. In the Word of God. Stay in. Let me let you think about this. A lot of us in here is in leadership in our church. We're in leadership in different parts of our lives. And in our families, if you're a man, you're definitely in leadership in your family. If you're the boss of where you work, you're in leadership there. If you're whatever you're over, if you're in a position in that, then you've got a responsibility. Have you ever thought about this? You can't lead someone to a place you've never been yourself. If you've never been close to God, you can't take your family close to God. If you've never been close to God, you can't take your church close to God. If you've never been close to God, you can't take your Sunday school class close to God. If you've never been there, you can't take your co-workers. If you've never been close to him, you can't take your community. You can't take whatever it is you're over. You cannot do it because yourself, you don't know how to get there. Our children went to take a young man home in center last night, and they stayed gone forever. And come to find out, you know what happened? They missed a turn. You know why they missed a turn? Because they haven't been there very much. Or they're girls or something. Or that was an excuse or something, but we won't go forward. Listen, they missed a turn, they said. You know why? Because they wasn't familiar with that road. And most of us today, if we be honest with ourselves, if someone asks, how do I find Jesus Christ? Do you know how to tell them? Do you know how to tell them to lead them to the, do you know the Roman road? Bobby Garner had them made on some little bookmarks back there. It's there. It's available to you. And do you know how to lead someone to Christ? Do you care enough to lead someone to Christ? More importantly, have you been to Christ yourself to know how to point them there? Well, it's hard, isn't it? But ourselves. Number one, make sure we're saved. Number two, get into prayer and get into the Word. Number three, and yes, this is important or it wouldn't be in the Scripture. You need to take care of your physical body. Take care of your physical body. This is hard. We've seen, and I'm going to give a little praise right here. We saw some in our church that's dedicated enough to do this, and it's hard work. These ladies have lost a bunch of weight to make themselves better, to make their lives more efficient, make their lives better. Listen, let's don't waste it. Let's use that life that God has given us and the energy for Him. But why is it important to keep our bodies in good shape? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, it tells us, "Know you not that you are the temple of God? The Spirit of God dwelleth in you." The bottom line of this thing is, if you're not getting good physical health, guess what? You can't go out to a community and tell them about the Lord. If you're not in good physical health, you can't go out and tell them this. I realize that we have nothing to do with cancer. We have nothing to do a lot with heart disease. A lot of it's hereditary and all these other diseases. I know we can't change them, but there are some things we can change with being disciplined enough to put ourselves to them. And buddy, it is hard. I commend these ladies. I commend these ladies. It's tough. But he tells us, don't you know that this is the temple of God? You take care of it. You make sure that you spend some time working on it. You spend some time making sure it's taken care of. We take care to make sure our church looks good. I believe we got a beautiful church. Outside, we got a brand new roof on it, and man, it looks good. About to have a new building down here and going to have pretty tin on it, and all that's going to look good. But listen, we wouldn't come up to that thing and take spray paint and paint all over it. We wouldn't do all those things to it. We wouldn't knock a hole in the side of our church or do any of these other things to it. And we wouldn't do all this, and we keep our church clean. We take care of our church. So it tells us that our body is a temple of God. So we got just as much responsibility to take care of this temple. Be careful what you show it. Be careful what you put in front of it. Be careful what you pour into it. You know what's inside there? If you're a child of God, this Holy Spirit of God indwells it. That's His house. What have you poured into His house this year? What have you showed His house this year through your eyes? What have you showed His house or His house listened to through your ears? Think about it a minute. It's not you. You're not no longer yourself. You've been bought with a price. You've got a responsibility to take care of your physical body. Spend some time on yourself this year. As 2017 comes to a close, we can look back and be pleased of how some things went and not so happy about others. This is true in our own lives, in our church, in our little world that we spend most of our time in, which is Cleburne County, Alabama. We cannot change what happened this past year. The past is just what it says. It's the past. I can't go back and change one thing that happened last year. It's over. There's a history book being written, and it's in there. It is there. It's not changing. If you failed, confess your failures to God. And I didn't even know this was in our Sunday school lesson when I was studying this week. Confess your faults to God and get up. Get up. You failed. It's in the past. The past don't matter. You have to go forward. Confess your sins to God. Confess your faults to God. If you fail Him in any area of your life, whether it be putting Him first, whether it be putting others second, or yourself, or you've been on any of these things, and we've got an opportunity in about however many hours it is to midnight to get all those things cleared away. And 2018 is a brand new start. A brand new start. What will you do with 2018? What will you do with it? Will we waste it, as we've done many other years, of having good intentions but no feet to those prayers, as some mentioned in class? Will we waste it? I want you to understand something as we're about to close. If you're allowed to live 2018, if you're allowed to live another minute, do you understand that is a gift from God? That is a gift. You spend that time on Jesus, number one. You spend that time on others, number two. You spend that time on yourself of getting spiritually better and physically better, and you getting into a better place in your life so you can make a difference for God. Don't stand there when you're 70 or 80 years old, young person, and look back and say, I wasted a lifetime. I've told y'all many stories about my granddad. He lived a life, he was an alcoholic for most of his life. He got saved about 2 weeks before he died. And he didn't ever see these words, but I could tell it in his life because I was saved at the time. I could tell it in his eyes and in his life that he realized he wasted 76 years. Wasted it. I'm talking about a man who was an alcoholic at the end of his days, didn't want a beer around him. My uncle come over, he was at a wedding reception. He come over and he said, "Get that mess away from me. I don't want it no more." Boy, that was a miracle. Hear him say that. He realized something. He had wasted 76 years. Wasted it. Do I believe he's saved? Yes, I do. The Bible teaches, you remember that story, that parable about where the one's got a penny a day? The one who worked the least amount of time, he got the same penny. Yes, I believe they get to enjoy the same things of heaven. There's many crowns, according to the scriptures, they miss out on. But most of all, boy, what a wasted life. If they'd have come to Christ earlier and spent their time for him. As we all stand, we come with a verse of invitation. I want you to go through these questions as she's playing. Go through these questions I ask you at the first. And you be honest with yourself. What have we done with our time? What have we done with it? What will we do with the remaining time we have left? I don't know if you've got 1 year. I don't know if you've got 30 minutes or 30 years or 100 years. You may have that long. What's the spiritual quality of your life? What's the quality of your life for God? Are you doing anything for him? Is your life pleasing to the Lord? Is the way you're living your life right now pleasing to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? If it's not, you need to be in an old-fashioned altar down here. Listen, this is one thing in churches that's got to start being used, is our altars. We see the altars, and that's the reason it's called an altar, is it can alter some things. It can alter our lives. It can alter our condition of our churches, condition of ourselves. Be honest with yourself. If you've wasted time, will you stop? Will you start spending the time on the things God has showed us to? In 2018, can you get at the end of it and say, "I had joy"? It means I had Jesus first, others, and myself as we sing.